You're listening to a download from North Sound 2. Listen again. Missed it first time? Catch up at northsound2.com/listen again.
Aberdeen 401035 is the number. And, of course, you can set the agenda this morning. Now, we had so many callers last week who didn't actually get onto the show simply because they left it too late. So please do not make that mistake this morning. You may, for example, have a view on whether St Nicholas House, until recently the headquarters of the City Council here in Aberdeen, should be left for someone to develop. Or should, as was decided by a narrow margin in a behind-closed-doors meeting the other day, should the 1960s building be demolished? That, of course, is not the end of the story, because the matter will be raised at this week's full council meeting, and the SNP, who want the place sold off because of the cost to the council of demolition, have a majority to get their way. So should it stay or should it go? Let's hear your thoughts on that one. Aberdeen 401035. And the Great Tullis Hill Deer Cull could soon be underway, funding permitting, of course. Apparently it's time at that time of the year for such things to happen. But the City Council are playing their cards very close to their chest over when the killing will begin. Some experts say the cull is necessary because it will ensure the welfare of the deer and protect them from starvation. Protesters, on the other hand, say it shouldn't go ahead. So who should we be listening to? And while we're on the subject of protests, parents and pupils at Hazelhead Primary School in Aberdeen have been expressing their disquiet at plans for a recycling plant in their area. Anita Martin is the chairwoman of the parents' group, and she joins me now. Good morning, Anita.
Good morning.
How are you this morning?
Fine, thank you. Yeah.
You are pretty riled about this whole issue. Have you not left it a wee bit late in the day?
This has been going on, certainly for our parent council, for well over a year. We've been attending all the community liaison meetings, any of the public meetings that we've had, and we've voiced our concerns all along. We're now at the final consultation stage, and we have till the 5th of October to make sure that Aberdeen City Council realise that we're against the planning application, which is why we've tried to make things maybe a little bit more visual than we have in the past.
And you've involved the kids, of course, in this. I saw the pictures on television the other day. Are they aware of what's going on?
Oh, definitely. I mean, they are very much into recycling. It's a big part of the school curriculum. We have a special group that looks at environment and recycling within the school. But I think they all feel strongly, as the parents do, that the increase in traffic, citing it beside the park, all of those major things mean that it's not the recycling we're against, it's just where it's going to be housed.
Now, for those of us and the listeners who are not exactly sure where this plant is intended to be, paint a picture for us.
If you're coming up Hazelhead Avenue and you're heading towards what was the old bus terminus,
yeah,
just before the side entrance to Hazelhead Park.
Yes.
In behind there, there's an area called Grove Nursery. It's quite a large area. It's about 16 acres, I understand.
Mm-hmm.
And the recycling centre, which will take up about 2.5 of those acres, is just in behind there. That's where it is.
And so where will I'm trying to think of where the primary school is in relation to that.
Well, the primary school...
Is it not further ahead?
No, it will be further ahead. The entrance to the recycling centre will be approximately, I think it's about 150 metres from the side entrance to the school. Our side entrance is on Hazelhead Avenue as well.
Mm-hmm.
So it'll just be further up. But there's a large majority of pupils that go to the school cross Hazelhead Avenue because they all live in the Craigie Buckler area, and that's the road that they cross to get into the school gates.
But surely, of course, we would expect that provision would be made for them to cross that road safely if and when the recycling plant does go ahead.
Yeah, and CETA have certainly put a proposal in that there should be a proper pedestrian crossing. But as I understand it, they said it's going to be at the eastern end of Hazelhead Avenue, not in the middle where we need it for the children to cross. But even with that, we're talking about nursery children up to primary 7. Now, even with the best traffic measures in place, you know, children as young as that can be unpredictable. And with a 92% increase in traffic being proposed, that that's what the recycling centre will cause or will generate, we still feel there's a significant risk to the children.
Now, I know that the residents of the area are against this project as well, for different reasons, I guess. Are you, as groups, are you together on this, and have you been discussing this as two groups?
Not separately, but certainly some of the other groups, we've all been to the community liaison meetings, and I think we all have actually very similar views. I don't think the Seafield and Craigie Buckler Community Council, for example, I don't think their view is any different from ours. Obviously, they've got residents who have children there, but it's not just that. It's the fact that it's so near to one of the best parks in Aberdeen. I mean, I would be objecting if it was going beside Duffy Park. You know, it's not the fact that it's just at Hazelhead. It's because it's a facility that attracts tourists. Citizens of Aberdeen use it extensively. So I think there's many, you know, many of the issues that all of the groups have, they're all the same.
Now, I know that you've been talking with your councillors in the area, Councillor Jennifer Stewart and Martin Gregg, and they're against this proposal.
Yeah.
I'm trying to think how far back this goes and whether they were part of the coalition, as was at the time, which may have voted this through, or is this? It's not exactly new, this plan, is it?
No, I mean, I'm not clear. All I know is from the discussions I've had with those two councillors, and they both are against it. And as I understand, the meeting that was held to approve Grove Nursery as the site, it was the Lib Dems that were against it. Now, whether there were some others, I'm not entirely clear on that.
No,
certainly they've been very supportive.
Okay, so they're supporting you. You've got two councillors in your ward who are supporting you. What about the others? I think have you got two other councillors there?
Yeah, I've had no contact with any of the others. So,
why is that?
I did initially contact one way back in the beginning, and at the time when it was just, you know, starting to become known. He knew or didn't seem to know very much about it at the time. So,
who are we talking about here? John West or is it Jim Farquharson? Who's the other?
It was Councillor Farquharson at the time.
Right, OK. Yeah. Well, Councillor West, for example, if they're pushing this ahead, he's a member of the governing party, if you like, in the City Council. Wouldn't it be an idea to get him on side?
Yeah, well, what we have, what we are doing is writing to all of the councillors who are on the planning committee to voice our concerns, so they will all be clear on how we feel about the situation. So
Anita, what's the timescale for this? Remind us about how this process will pan out.
Well, as I understand it, we have until the 5th of October for everybody to put their objections into the council. Now, I would urge people that even though they may have gone online to the online petition or signed any other paper petitions, they should still put in their own personal objections. And they can do that by email. Can I give the email address?
Yes, please.
It's pi@aberdeencity.gov.uk.
Okay.
Or they can write to the Head of Planning and Sustainable Development at Aberdeen City Council, Marshall College. Now, they should still put in their individual protests. So then the 5th of October, that will be the end of the consultation period. I'm not clear on the dates of when the meeting's going to be held, but I do understand from the public meeting that we had with Councillor Stewart and Greg that there will be a meeting, or is likely to be a meeting, of the elected council officials who are on the planning committee to allow interested parties, people, to put their points across.
And are you confident that the swell, the groundswell of protest against this will win the day?
Well, I think we have to remain optimistic. You know, you can only but try. And I think the strength of feeling that's certainly coming from the Hazelhead area, but also much further afield, that this is just completely the wrong location, that an industrial site is a far more appropriate place to house a recycling centre, then hopefully Aberdeen City Council will see sense and look elsewhere to put this.
Of course, it's CETA who are trying to get this planning permission.
Mm-hmm.
Have you spoken directly to them?
Yeah, I've had lots of conversations.
And what do they say about the site that's chosen? Why have they picked there?
To be perfectly honest, it's not them that picks the site. It's Aberdeen City Council, as I understand it.
Okay.
So they are the contractors who will run and manage the site. And to be fair, they've had open days at the community rooms up at Hazelhead Primary School. And the facility looks great. I mean, it looks fabulous in terms of a recycling facility. And nobody is disputing that, I don't think, that it will be a well-run, well-managed facility. It simply is where Aberdeen City Council have decided to house that is the issue.
Okay, well, Anita, I guess we'll be hearing more about this. I mean, you had a very high-profile protest last week involving the children from the school. Do you have any other similar things planned?
I think we will look to get the petitions taken down to the to Marshall College on Tuesday or Wednesday, and then we'll see where it goes from there. But I think we, as a parent forum, feel very strongly and will continue to push as far as we can. And obviously, if the decision is that it is going to be housed there, then we'll try and push for an appeal as much as we can after that.
Okay, well, we'll keeping tabs on this story.
Good.
Many thanks for your time this morning, Anita.
Thank you very much.
Bye bye.
Thank you.
There we are then. That's Anita Martin, who is co-chair of the Parent Teachers Association at Hazelhead Primary School. They're very much against the recycling plant that is planned for within a very short distance of that school for a variety of reasons, principally because of the traffic congestion and the, I guess, what they believe is an accident or accidents waiting to happen. Let's hear your thoughts on that and on whether we should demolish St Nicholas House or leave it as it is for a developer. We're going to take a break right now and you can call us on 4010 35.
North Sound 2. Listen again.
It's been an interesting week in terms of news last week locally. We've been hearing that the deer cull, now remember, we featured on this this issue on the programme two or three times in the past year, and an inordinate amount of people against this deer cull at Tullis Hill. But if you read what the experts are saying, they're telling us it's absolutely necessary and that, you know, these things, as part of nature, have got to happen. The City Council are planting throughout the city 100,000 trees. They say it's a tree for every citizen. Well, it's actually more like half a tree for every citizen, because I think there are more than 200,000 people in the city. However, that's the deal. And Tullis Hill is one of the many areas where these saplings will be planted. However, there is quite a sizable deer community up there, and they'll certainly be looking forward to the trees because it will keep them in food for a long, long time. The council and the experts say we've got to have a cull. We've got to shoot these deer because they will just eat the place down to stubs. So let's see what your thoughts are on that one. Aberdeen 401035 is the number. You might have views on St Nicholas House, on whether we should retain that building as it stands, because apparently some developers are interested in making that into offices, and some have even said maybe even a hotel. We seem to have a great rush of hotels in the last couple of years. One caller has been in touch saying that Cillian Wood should come into the show to explain why he's putting his money into Union Terrace Gardens instead of using it to improve Union Street. Well, I guess the answer to that is it's his money. He can put it wherever he wants. But why would you do up Union Street? There's another issue. Because all the major chain stores seem to want to go into the shopping malls beside everybody else where the crowds are. And it means that high streets in general are being run down. Anyway, let's have your thoughts. Aberdeen 401035. Let's speak to Christine. Good morning, Christine.
Good morning, Frank. How are you?
I'm very well.
Thanks.
What's on your mind this morning?
Well, I'm just phoning in about the deer call.
Yes.
I recently made a written objection regarding this to the council.
Uh-huh.
And the response I got was a little bit worrying because it's a two-page letter, and they've mentioned in here that they've only had, this is what they said, 250 letters mm-hmm. or emails received since January 11, and less than 200 individuals or organisations have written or complained. That doesn't seem an awful lot, considering that we seem to hear that there's a lot more people, you know, objecting to this particular thing.
We've seen this before, though, on other mm-hmm. issues, haven't we? We've seen where people have come out of the woodwork, they've gone on protest marches, they've appeared at rallies, mm-hmm. they've voiced their opinion on this programme and written letters to the newspapers. Mm-hmm. But when it comes to the crunch and you ask them to email the council or another organisation with their protests, mm-hmm. they very often just don't get round to it.
Yeah, that's true.
But why are you against the cull?
Well, I believe that the animals aren't really doing any major harm there. They've been there for a long, long time, and maybe there could be other ways of dealing with the situation, mm-hmm. which are more humane. Maybe the deer could be moved to another site, some of them, rehoused in a different area, which would be, you know, maybe a possibility. I'm not sure what the other options might be, but there are other options, but the council have ruled them out.
What do you think of the views of organisations like the British Deer Society, for example? They've detailed their guidance on why this this cull is important and necessary, and they say that the welfare of the deer is at stake here because you'd be protecting them from starvation. I guess what they're saying is that the deer would eat all the saplings and then they'd be starving in a matter of, I don't know, how weeks perhaps?
You're meaning the saplings from the new trees that are about to be planted or just something else?
No, well, what I'm saying is they're saying that if the trees are planted and the deer are allowed to run riot, mm-hmm. they'll soon eat them away.
Do we really need the other trees?
There you are. That's the other issue. Do we need 100,000 trees?
Well, that was something I put in an objection to as well. Do the people of Aberdeen really want a tree to be planted in the first place?
Yes. I think that's the big question, isn't it?
There's maybe a lot more we could do with the money, mm-hmm. which has come from a different source for the trees, apparently. It's a different council budget. So maybe some people might like to take that into consideration and say, well, do we really need it? We could put the money, surely, to something else.
Yeah, rather than plant trees,
exactly. But it's just a phone call to say, I'm sure a lot more people would be interested in injection if they could just get up and do something. That would be good.
Okay, Christine, they've heard your message. They're out there. If you object to the deer call, then mm-hmm. get on the email or something.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
Absolutely.
Thank you very much. Thank you.
Okay,
bye-bye. There you are then. That's a challenge for you, if you like. If you really are against this, then get your objection in. Let's talk to Evelyn. How are you, Evelyn?
Good morning, Frank.
Are you all right this morning? Are you? You're not on about the deer cull, though, are you?
No, but I think it's ridiculous that they're having a deer cull.
Yeah.
They came in, they took down trees in Hazelhead. Nobody knew why they'd taken down old trees.
Uh-huh.
And then they planted saplings.
Yeah.
And I mean, it's just a mess.
Well, we'll see if we can get some more response on that one this morning. But what about the townhouse? That's what you want to speak about.
Well, as far as I was led to believe, that when they were moving over to, when they suggested having Marshall College for the townhouse, it was being demolished because there was seemingly needing to be knocked down.
Yeah, I think we were all led to believe that.
Yeah.
That the whole idea of moving the staff from St Nicholas House to Marshall College was that we could erase St Nicholas House floor by floor, somebody told me on this programme not so long ago, in order that we could have a civic square.
Yeah.
And that we would be able to see, is it Provost Rust's house behind it? we'd be able to see that.
Mm-hmm.
But
suddenly it's...
Somebody's moved the goalposts.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, to me, that moving to Marshall College was just really a waste of money.
Well, I made the point in my newspaper column the other day that if they're going to keep the building and say, sell it to a developer who wants to use it for offices,
mm-hmm.
why didn't they just keep the Aberdeen Council employees in their offices, because nothing will have changed?
That's right. Uh-huh. And another thing, I mean, whatever happened to Frederick Street School?
I don't know. What I do know is, and you'll be aware of this, I guess, there were several companies housed in that building,
yeah.
and the council ordered them out.
They were paying rent.
And they were removed because it was needed for something else. I can't remember what that was. It was for their own purposes. I don't know if Frederick Street School is occupied now. Maybe somebody's listening will be able to phone up and tell us that.
Money right, left and centre, having consultations and referendums, etc, etc.
Yeah.
Well,
Evelyn, you know something, it won't be long until May time comes along. You know what's happening then, don't you?
Yeah.
The local council elections. Da-da-da. And, you know, I think that I think it's important that people do go out and vote. I mean, we're talking about this very early, but I get the feeling that people are so apathetic that they won't go out and cast their vote.
No.
You know, they're only about 25% or 30%.
They should have to vote.
Mm.
Because, I mean,
yes.
the vote was fought long and hard to get.
You're absolutely right.
And they should be made to.
And you'll remember that, Evelyn, from the days when you were a suffragette. Okay.
Thank you very much
for your call this morning.
Bye.
Thank you. Bye-bye. There you are, then. There's, you know, we've in the course of a couple of calls, we've had two or three topics which have cropped up there, which we didn't have on our agenda. But, of course, it's you, dear listener, who sets the agenda. Let's hear your views on anything under the sun. I'm waiting for your calls, and you can get in touch and be on air by calling Aberdeen 4010 35.
North Sound 2. Listen again.
Welcome back to the programme. I'm needing your views on any of the issues which might be on your mind this morning. You might have something completely different from those subjects that I have put in front of you this morning. You might even want to tell me a funny story, something that's happened to you. Actually, we need a bit cheering up in this programme, don't we? It's so miserable out there this morning, and we need a bit cheering up. So try and phone in, give me a laugh, tell me a funny story. You might have been at Pittodrie on Friday. What do you think of Friday night football? It seemed to work. Now, was that because it was new and different and people wanted to try it? Or was, and I have a theory about this, it was such a wonderfully balmy evening. It was so warm and beautiful that maybe there was another 1,000 or two people decided that, after all, they would go to the game because it was such a pleasant evening. And I've got, the theory is that if we had that all the time, for example, summer football, the crowds here in Scotland would go up. Because you know, it's pretty awful, isn't it, being asked to go to see a football match in the middle of winter here in the northeast of football, northeast of Scotland, here in Scotland in general, when you're sitting in rain, wind, snow, hail, and it, you know, it's miserable. The halftime catering isn't exactly five-star cuisine, and you're sitting there watching rubbish on the pitch, and you're thinking, why am I here? So let's really have a strong debate, I think, in football about making the games in the summer, and forget about everybody. You know, think about the fans. That's what I say. Think about the fans and think about their comfort. And why do they want to sit on wet seats? They don't. You might have a view on that. Aberdeen 401035 is the number. You might have a view on the deer cull. We've been talking about that this morning. Or the proposed recycling plant for Hazelhead. Do you live in the Hazelhead area? Do you have a view on this? Is this recycling plant going to affect your life? Or are we making too much of it? We heard earlier on in the programme from Anita Martin from the parents group on Hazelhead Primary School. They're extremely concerned about the enormous increase in traffic that a recycling plant will bring to the area and how it will impact on the school and the pupils who attend that school. Let's hear your thoughts on that one. What was the other thing I mentioned this morning? Oh, yes, St. Nicholas House. There we are. We thought that St. Nicholas House, once everybody was decanted from there, all the council employees were sent across the road to the wonderful Marshall College complex. We thought that was going to be the end of it, the end of St. Nicholas House, that it was going to be pulled down. It was going to be very difficult and complex to demolish a building with so many other buildings in close proximity. And the idea was, as somebody had mentioned on this programme, I think it was a councillor and I can't remember who, the idea was it would have to be done floor by floor. Obviously, couldn't put some sticks of dynamite in there and blow the thing up because it could be catastrophic. So floor by floor. Now the council are thinking, hang on a second, this could cost us somewhere in the region of £2 million to demolish it when we could sell the site perhaps for £5 million and allow a developer to do what they want with it. Now, there have been some ideas about whether it should be offices, maybe partly offices, partly residential. That would be a very kind of interesting place to live, right in the centre, and rather nice across, if your front window is looking across to Marshall College and the Robert the Bruce statue. Or they might, you know, they might make it into a hotel. Now, we seem to have a whole plethora of hotels coming along in the last couple of years, when in fact, you know, it wasn't so very long ago we were told there weren't enough hotel rooms. And all suddenly there's been this great rush of hotel building and hotel development across Aberdeen. Have we got too many? Have we got enough hotels? Let's hear your thoughts on that issue, if you like. Aberdeen 40. 1035 is the number. You can tell that the phones are quiet, can't you? Because I'm going over the various issues you might like to discuss, but there will be things that have not entered my tiny little mind about topics that you might have on your mind, and I'd like to hear about them. Even if it's something humorous that's happened to you in the last 7 days since you've been listening to the programme. See, and even if you want to tell me how the weather is where you are. Now, I know that there are people out there in Aberdeenshire that we hear very little from people in Aberdeenshire, except Jim Munro, who's on just about every week. And I can see the phones are flashing from Jim right now in Balmeddy. And I like to hear from people out with the city who can tell me about their gripes and grouses and groans and miseries, if you like. And I like to hear what's happening where they are, whether it's in Peterhead or Banff or Fraserburgh or Bankray or up Deeside, all around the area. I like to hear what's happening in your life, dear listener. Give me a shout on Aberdeen 40 10 35 and we'll get on with this program before much longer. What else can we talk about this morning? I've run out of ideas. I've given you old heaps of ideas. And I think there's enough there for you to think about and get back to me. Let's hear what's on your mind. Let's hear what Jim Munro is saying. Good morning, Jim.
Good morning, Frank.
You took a wee while to get through to me. I don't know what was happening there.
Did you see Mr. Mel going to build these houses where there's a factory? They're going to close. Well, there's one that's closing the factory, but they wouldn't say it was this week or next week.
Yeah.
But I thought the factory would come first. If you had a job, who's going to pay the rent? Who's going to pay the mortgage?
Right. Now, this is the factory where people are going to be laid off.
Yes.
They're going to lose their jobs.
Would they lose their jobs?
Well,
yes.
I don't know the ins and outs of it, Jim. I'm assuming that the people who own that factory see it more profitable, if you like.
They might be leaving Aberdeen.
Right, they want to leave Aberdeen and sell the site for house building.
Yes.
Yeah. And remind me, how many jobs? Is it 90 or thereabouts, or 130 jobs?
Yes.
Which are going to be lost, which is a great sadness. I hate to hear people losing their jobs.
Well, you see, if I still work, who's going to pay the rent? Who's going to pay the mortgage?
On that property, you mean, on the factory, yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, it's a great shame, you know. But there have been occasions in the past, for example, years ago, before we had our real financial difficulties, when there'd be government agencies and so on ready to help to bail out people like that, so that the jobs could remain and the local economy could benefit from it.
Yes.
But what would you rather see done?
Well, I'm sure the Bell would have seen done, because he's wanted to build more and more houses. I quite understand that.
Yeah.
But you've got to have jobs.
Yes.
That's the state of the country as it is. There's far too many people, and there's not enough jobs.
There's not enough jobs, although we're protected up here, compared with other parts of the country. If you look at the I think we're talking about 2.5 million people now out of work in a very short space of time, with no spending power.
Here's the Royal Navy, you know, they have 1,000 with speed up.
Yeah.
And Friday made redundant.
Yeah.
Some have taken early redundancy.
Yeah.
Because they're so fed up with the job. But I mean, this is only the beginning, Frank.
You think it's going to get worse?
It's going to get worse.
Yeah.
I mean, there's more people living off. You see, all your council workers and all they've never been working in a like where they're on their own, where they've got to sell stuff to pay. It's all living off of the taxpayer.
And
see, all these councillors and all these civil servants, it don't mean they all do a job. The country would stand still if it didn't work. But I mean, they're far as concerned as they get their money. They guarantee their money. If you have a private firm and you don't sell your goods what you're making, you're out of the door.
You think the council workers are protected?
Well, you see, the percentages for the union is... It's all right, for the percentages, say 10%. It's all right if you are with 10,000 or 100,000. Who comes off best?
Yeah, yeah.
You see, in old days when the pound showed in the pence, you're looking to get 2 pence for a pay rise an hour. But now it's percentages, and that's where the gap goes bigger and bigger.
Well, the gap has got bigger and bigger.
Yes,
you're absolutely right, Jim, yeah.
I don't know where you're turning on, because all these Bruce Forsyth and all them, they've even said themselves, they're grossly overpaid. But they won't pay it back.
No chance. Yeah. Okay, Jim.
Okay,
thanks for your call.
Thank you for taking my call.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Bye then. Yeah, I like to hear from Jim. He's got some really good views, hasn't he? And wonder if Leslie has got some views as well. Good morning, Leslie.
Good morning, Frank. How are you?
I'm very well, thank you.
Good, good.
Are we going to get through a call without mentioning a future choices here?
Well, the thing is, a couple of my friends were collecting for future choices down at the oil exhibition. And they were there for quite a number of hours.
Yeah.
And they only made £1.50.
No.
Yes. £1.50.
This was at Offshore Europe a couple of weeks ago.
Yes, and they're both disabled.
What, they were standing outside with collecting
gas? Yes, and when they came back, they said, we've only made £1.50.
Right.
Now, we were down at the train station yesterday, thanks to British Rail for letting us do that, to collect, and we must have made about £40-50.
Mm-hmm.
So it just, you know, people out there are very kind and generous.
Yeah.
We'd just like to thank them. But, you know, we just thought, well, with the oil exhibition, we thought they'd have a bit more thought.
Sure.
But £1.50.
Oh, well, that's bad news, Leslie.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Well, look, we've got to stop the Future Choices commercial here, because we're going to have every charity under the sun phoning saying, well, we need parity on this.
Yeah.
Okay, well, thanks for your call.
That's okay. No problem. Bye.
Bye. Well, but that's interesting. £1.50 from a day's collection outside Offshore Europe. What do you think about that one? Oil-rich Aberdeen oil executives going in to visit I think there's roughly 40 to 50,000 delegates for that show this year, which gets bigger and bigger every year. Anyway, you've had a couple more views on a couple of more issues. You might like to weigh in with some views on anything in the final kind of segment of the programme. Because we are we going to have a break right now, Grant? Yeah, I think we will. We're going to have a break, during which time, dear listener, get on this phone. Aberdeen 4010 35.
North Sound 2. Listen again.
Just let me mention, incidentally, while I've got the time, that I won't be here next week. You will be in the capable hands of Cammy Campbell. He'll be in the seat. I'm having a day off, and I'll tell you about it when I come back next week. And what else? Oh, yes. NorthSound2.com/listen again will allow you to do just that. It's a great facility now we have on our website, which allows you to listen to programmes that have gone before. Again, they're all manner of North Sound 2 programmes you can click onto and hear them again, including this one, the North Sound 2 Talking. So that's NorthSound2.com/listen again. Remember, and do that if you're feeling like you want to enjoy yourself for a few minutes. Let's speak to Kevin. Good morning, Kevin.
Good morning, Frank. How are you?
I'm very well. I'm a wee bit feeling a wee bit lonely this morning on the phones.
That's why I thought I'd give you a call.
I'm glad to hear from you.
In a very dreich Fraserburgh.
You're from Fraserburgh. Well, Fraserburgh is always dreich, is it not?
No, I'm getting ahead of
confusion. Oh, yeah, you've still got this great kind of rivalry, haven't you? Fraserburgh and Peterhead.
Oh, for sure.
Have you?
Oh,
what, yes. I wonder where that emanates from.
Oh, well, I suppose way, way back, doesn't it? Way, way back.
Yeah, well, when Fraserburgh was a huge fishing port. In fact, I think I'm right in saying it was the biggest. Before Fraserburgh then took over the mantle. I wonder why the Broch kind of lost its title, as it were, as it was once Europe's top fishing port.
Well, maybe we've got the EU to blame there.
Maybe, yeah, maybe. That's too complicated. What do you want to say this morning?
Well, just a discussion point, really. I heard earlier folk talking about Union Street and, you know, how it should be spruced up a wee bit.
Yeah.
And the shopping malls were mentioned.
Yeah.
I'm just wondering, actually, if the city were to go forward with pedestrianising Union Street,
yeah,
it might generate a bit more, wealth, if you like. Or
that's certainly something that's been put forward by many people. And I must say that for a while I was for that. And then one day, when the Continental Market was used to be on Union Street, if you remember.
Mm-hmm.
What we found was that coming from Pittodrie, for example, to get up to the West End took an hour and a half because you couldn't use Union Street. All the buses were, and all the traffic were diverted down the harbour area. And then I thought, well, if this were to be pedestrianised, it would be absolutely chaotic. And I think from that moment on, I was against it.
That is part of the problem, I think. It's where does all that traffic go?
Yeah.
But, I mean, you notice when it leads up to the Christmas period that, you know, you've got the Sunday situation with the street closed and it seems to be very successful.
It is, and it brings lots of people out, doesn't it?
It does, and I'm feeling that a lot of these big named companies that are moving to the malls, it's possibly because of the fact that it is providing a safer environment and more comfortable environment for the shopper. I mean, okay, if you pedestrianise it, it's still exposed and outdoors, but you don't have the hassle of the traffic.
Yeah.
And the fact that, the pavement, as you know, can be so busy dodging folk in a hectic Saturday afternoon.
Yeah. The other thing, too, is if you're a business, a big business, you want to be where the footfall is, don't you? You want to be where people are, and they're in the shopping malls. And the other thing is, why would you go into an old premises, for example, in Union Street, you have to spend a fortune to do it up to your requirements, when you could walk into an empty shell in a shopping mall and it's all there for you virtually.
That's right. But I suppose looking back, maybe the days I was a child, you would go maybe for a walk at night with your parents, of course, and you'd do what they would call just window shopping.
Yeah.
But of course, if the malls are closed for a certain time, there's not that particular enticement anymore.
No, there's not.
But of course, that's it. The modern retail and the consumer requirements are, let's get it undercover.
Yeah.
Maybe the window shopping's not even a thing that folk consider doing now. They maybe go online and just look that up first before they tape into the shops.
That's the other thing, online shopping, yeah.
That is a killer as well. The retail parks, the online shopping, it's all nails in the coffin for the high street in the city, isn't it?
It is, rather. Yeah, I'm afraid so. Kevin, thanks for your call this morning. Good to hear from you.
Thank you. You're welcome.
Keep in touch. Thank you.
See you now. Thanks.
Bye. Let's speak to Alec. Good morning, Alec.
How are you doing, Frank?
I'm very well, thank you. I'll
come on the phone and cheer you up for a change.
Oh, go on then. I need cheering up.
Oh, no. Well, just straight to the point. What do you think about Ken Buchanan taking a box again at 66?
It's bizarre. It won't happen, of course. And of course, yeah, I don't know. We'll better tell the listeners who are not aware of this. But Ken Buchanan, who's 66, former world lightweight champion, and most fantastic, one of the greats of Scottish boxing, British boxing, has announced he's going to make a comeback. Now, he can't make a comeback officially because he wouldn't be given a professional licence, but they have these unlicensed shows and blue-collar boxing and all that stuff.
Well, I think what we can do, really, I like to cheer you up, I like to come on the radio and have a laugh, but since you're a bit quiet today, I'll boost your ratings for just a little minute. What I'd like to suggest, because let's be honest, local boxing doesn't get enough publicity like it should.
It doesn't.
I think McAllister's in particular, Lee, etc., are doing a fantastic job.
Yeah.
And I've met his father a couple of times, Davey, through business, crap, metal, etc.
Yeah.
And for a laugh, I'd like to see Davey McAllister taking a Ken Buchanan.
Well, of course, it wouldn't happen because McAllister's a licensed professional. If he did that in an unlicensed promotion, he would lose his license.
It would
be interesting, though, wouldn't it?
No, I'm only joking. What I'm saying
Sorry, I know that, but did you see Ken Buchanan on the TV the other day?
I've actually seen him years ago down in Glasgow.
Yeah.
I used to follow boxing since the 60s and 70s. In fact, from the radio a number of years ago. And we was actually a guest in the studio, you were. And I mentioned a Hungarian boxer, Laszlo Papp.
Oh, yes,
I was being vulgar.
Yeah.
And that's a fact. There was a Hungarian light heavyweight called Laszlo Papp.
Laszlo Papp won 3 Olympic gold medals.
Great boxer.
He was a fabulous guy. And do you know something that amazed me? I met him many, many years ago.
Uh-huh.
And he was only 5'6" tall. And he was against these big guys. He was such a beautiful boxer. But Ken Buchanan... I was in Inverness yesterday at the Inverness St Mirren game, and one man who was selling programmes there he was asking me about this Ken Buchanan issue, and he said to me, he was serious, listen to this, you're from the same vintage, he said, would you ever make a comeback? and listen, I'm training twice a week, believe it or not, up at the Byron Amateur Boxing Club. But if anybody asked me to go in the ring, I think I would have collie wobbles.
As you probably know, since the time we're getting close to the end of the show, one last thing. I see it's 50 years of Grampian TV being celebrated.
Yeah, I saw that.
And the funny thing is, there's a picture of yourself on Top Club.
Yes.
And I'm being serious, I'm not being patronising, as one programme I'd like to come back would be you doing Top Club all over again. I think it would be very, very good for local TV.
See, Alec, you better give me your address and I'll send you a cheque for that.
No, I do it because I like you, Frank. Take care, young man.
Thank you very much, Alec. Good to hear from you.
Bye-bye now.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Now, he has cheered me up. He really has cheered me up. And so have you by listening to the programme. Remember, you can listen again, northsend2.com, listen again. And you could also tune in next Sunday when Cammy Campbell will be here taking my place for the week. And remember, dear listener, after the news, we've got another old sparring partner of mine, Bill Torrens. See you soon. Bye-bye.
Listen again to what you've missed and access exclusive online-only content at northsound2.com.